We'll consider this evening one verse in Paul's letter to the Philippians, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And so we come to a kind of a hot topic, I suppose. It's one of the verses in Scripture, if, you know, if we go and preach around a place and you think, what can you preach to a group of people that you don't know? This is one of the things that you can always preach to everyone. Anxiety. Don't be anxious. Well, anxiety just seems to be part of our life, doesn't it? Even if you're much smaller than me, your life will be full of anxiety. The whole life of everyone is full of anxiety. I've looked to see how prevalent anxiety and all those sorts of things are in the modern world and in the Western world particularly. And so we'll begin just to drive home the fact that even if you don't think you're anxious or that you're anxious often, that it is part of your life and this is relevant to you. 8 out of 10 people frequently have work-related stress. So 10 people here who work, 8 of them often feel stressed because of work. 6 out of 10 people who work have what would be called a normal anxiety, which means it doesn't need to have medication or special therapy to deal with. But more than half of those who work get anxious often. Half people who work feel some sort of depression that isn't bad enough to be medicated, but it still has a negative impact on their life. 1 out of 14 persons, so that's at least probably at least one or two of us here, feel stressed and anxiety every single day. And out of those who feel stressed daily, 4 out of 10 eat too much because of it. 3 out of 10 started to drink or increase the amount of drink to deal with it. So anxiety is a big problem. We all feel anxiety. We all know what it is to be anxious. And the question then that I'll ask at the beginning is, do you want that anxiety? Do you want to be anxious? Or rather, if you were given the opportunity to be free of that anxiety, would you take that opportunity? Well, the answer obviously would be yes, but it's not just us that think that. It's not just Christians who want to be free of anxiety. The whole world wants to be free of anxiety all of the time. And here are some remedies that the world offers for you. Some books: The Art of Letting Go, The Happy Me Project, How to Stop Overthinking, Self-Help for Your Nerves, How to Stop Worrying and Start Living, The Stress Solution, The 4 Steps to a Calmer, Happier, Healthier You. That's the world's cure to anxiety. We all have anxiety, and this is what the world says. You need to read a book and have this particular art, learn to let go, a project to make you happy, all of those things. Well, that's the world's cure. We come in Philippians to Paul's cure, and then by link, God's cure. Paul is speaking, this is God speaking to us through Paul. What does he say? He doesn't have a special book. He doesn't have a special remedy or method. He has a command. He says, do not be anxious. The world says you need to do all of these things. Learn how to do this and you won't be anxious. Paul says, don't be anxious. God comes to you now with a command. A command which, if you suffer any sort of anxiety or stress, seems impossible to fulfill. But what we'll see, as is often the case, Scripture tells us how to do it. And God tells us in this very verse how we can follow this command. And there are 3 things that we'll consider then in this verse this evening. The first is stop worrying. The beginning of verse 6, do not be anxious, stop worrying. And so, first of all, when we say don't be anxious, we all have sort of ideas of what anxiety is. We need to know what anxiety is, don't we? And what at least what Paul means by it, so we don't go way off. and misunderstand what he's teaching. Paul isn't talking about anxiety disorders. He's not talking about mental illness. He's not talking about people who are in a position where the anxiety stops them from doing anything at all. There's nothing sinful in having illnesses. And it's the same with mental illnesses. And if you have an anxiety disorder, it's nothing unchristian about going to the doctor and having some help. Paul isn't dealing with that. And he's not dealing with feeling pain or suffering. That's not what he means. He's not saying don't struggle with pain. And he's not saying don't have a very deep care or a very deep concern about something. In fact, Paul commends the Philippians in this chapter for their concern for him, their very deep concern for him. So when Paul says don't be anxious, and alongside that, when the Lord Jesus says do not be anxious, they're not talking about these things, feeling pain and suffering or having a deep care or concern or an anxiety disorder. They're not talking about those things. So what is anxiety? What is anxiety? Matthew Henry says it's distrustful worldly care which splits the heart in pieces. And it's that second bit that's so important. Distrustful worldly care that splits the heart in pieces. It takes you into bits. You're not then whole and at peace. Peace is being whole. You're in all these bits, this way and that way. Anxious care and distracting thoughts. And then we know now what Paul is talking about. When we're praying, we can be distracted by all sorts of things, can't we? All these things come in and we don't want them there. We try to push them out. But we say, we pray earnestly for the salvation of our children. That's a deep concern that we have. We might be worried about their eternal future, but that isn't splitting us apart. We're whole in that, whole in our desire to pray for them. Anxiety is to be torn up by something, torn into pieces by something, to be gnawed at, eaten at by this one particular thing or many things. It's to be made unable because we can't focus. We're getting pulled out into all little bits. Now, this is not a rebuke. Paul knows that the Philippians are anxious about certain things. They're being persecuted and they're beginning to be and feel anxious about this. And he's not telling them off. He's not saying, do not be anxious. He's giving them a loving command for their good. Paul does not benefit if they're anxious or not. They do. Paul is being caring here. And he's very clear about what he's driving at. In English, word order is important. In Greek, word order is not important. And Paul can just put at the very beginning what he really wants you to pay attention to. And he says at the beginning of this verse, nothing. That's what he begins. He says nothing, and then he says be anxious. So he's telling us from the very beginning of this verse what he's talking about. It's the scope of this command which is so important. Nothing. He's telling us there's nothing that we can be anxious about. And the command is as just a single event. It doesn't mean that we don't have to keep applying it, but the point is that Paul sees anxiety as a kind of a done deal, one thing, and that you need to make sure that you don't do that. It's dealt with. It's got rid of. He makes it so broad here. So broad. Nothing. There's absolutely nothing that Paul thinks is acceptable to be anxious about. And we can get in a muddle with this because we can be so strongly concerned and caring about things, and they might be good things. As I said, the salvation of our children, the future of our church, the future of the nation, all of these things, we really can care about them, and we ought to care about them, shouldn't we? It would be wrong of us not to care about the salvation of our children or our friends and family. But Paul is saying that no care or concern or worry, nothing at all should be allowed to distract you. And the point is, it's to be allowed to distract you. The anxiety doesn't come on you against your will. You are distracted by those things. You let them distract you. And Paul here is saying absolutely nothing is allowed that place, not even a good concern. We should not be distracted and torn up by the war in Ukraine, by the persecution of the church in the Middle East, and all of these things. We should care about them, yes, but they shouldn't split us up, or they feel that kind of almost physically painful sense of gnawing away at you, so that you find it hard to read, so that you find it hard to pray, so that you find it hard to behave in a good, godly, gentle, and meek manner. Nothing, Paul says, nothing should be given that position. Now, Christ Jesus, when he's going into Jerusalem, he has a good concern, doesn't he? What's going on? Everyone else is cheering that, Son of David is here. What is he doing? He's weeping loudly, wailing over the state of the city of God. That bothers him. He's upset by that. But it didn't distract him from what he went to do. He didn't say then to his father at that point, we'll wait till Passover next year. I'm going to sort out Jerusalem first, and then we can go through all of that. And then when he's in Gethsemane, and as a man who knows he's about to die, and to die a most horrible and painful death, an embarrassing and shameful death in the sight of everyone, he has a real concern. It's going to be horrible. He knows it's going to be horrible. And he cries out to his father, it's going to be horrible. He has a real deep concern. But he isn't distracted. He has a task. And he says to his father, I'm really concerned about how horrible this is going to be. And if there is any other way that it could be, please give me that. So moved was he, and so concerned in his human nature of dying in this horrible way. But he wasn't distracted. He said, not my will, your will be done. And he went and he did what he was going to do. So what are we anxious about? I want you to think of something, just one thing, probably comes to you immediately. You might have thought of it already. That thing that makes it hard to read scripture, or makes it hard to pray, or wakes you up at night, stops you going to sleep at night, that makes you eat too much or drink too much, distracts you from your work. Think of that one thing. Could be your finances, could be your health, could be the future of the church. There's all sorts of things. It could be a sin that you're really struggling to deal with, and you have been for many years. But I want you to keep it in mind. It's important now that you bring that one thing to mind, not to be distracted from the sermon by it, but to have it in mind so we can have some real proper in your life application of this verse. So think about it. Think about it. So the first thing, stop worrying. The second thing, start praying. The second part of verse 6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Let your requests be made known to God. And so we have a contrast that Paul is making. We have in nothing be anxious and make known your requests. Where he says, let your requests, he's not asking for permission. This is a command that he's giving to a group of people. That's how we think about it. It doesn't have any less force than do not be anxious. It's just a different type of word that he's used. But it carries the force of a command. That's what he's telling us. We are told to do both of these things. Do not be anxious. Make your requests known. He's joined them with this word, but. It's a strong disjunctive. He's setting them opposed. They're very different, but they're very strongly linked. That is to say, Paul says in these two commands with this little hinge here, he says, in order to stop being anxious, pray. He has two choices, if you like, anxiety or prayer. That's as far apart as they are for Paul. They don't mix. There's one or there is the other. And this is active. Let your requests be made known to God. Now remember, that's a command. He's saying, make your requests known to God. And that's, it seems obvious when it's pointed out to us, but how many times have we been struggling with something and we think, you know, the Lord knows and I'll just leave it. I don't pray about it. Why? The Lord knows. I don't need to tell God something he already knows. I just leave it, yeah? But that's not right. That's wrong for us. We're told actively to make known the requests to God. You think of all the godly men and women we see in Scripture. How many of them just leave it because God knows? Did Abraham just leave it because God knows? And Moses just left it because God knows? Joseph left it because God knows? Job left it, God knows? Paul just left it, God knows? Or rather, how many of those men and women in Scripture that are godly continually make known their requests to God? Well, just about all of them. You're like the giants of the faith. And when they didn't, they fell into sin. How many of you have a favorite missionary, favorite preacher, someone who's done wonderful work in the kingdom of God and extended the kingdom of God? How many of those just left it? Thought, well, God knows, they're struggling. God knows, I'll leave it. George Whitfield just left it. The Wesley brothers just left it. Lloyd-Jones just left it. No, all of them, to a man, are described as men of prayer. They prayed. They made known their requests to God. The godly people make known their requests to God. They do. But who doesn't? Who doesn't make known to God? The ungodly don't make it known to God. Pharaoh says to Moses, pray to your God for me. He's not going to do it. He doesn't want to approach God. King Saul doesn't pray and express his difficulty with David's movement up. He doesn't pray. He tries to kill David. Instead, Herod, when he's worried about this new king who's come, he's going to spoil everything. He doesn't go to God. Why? The ungodly don't go to God. So we need to be active in making known our requests to God. And that is just a characteristic of the godly person. And we're given here our requests. Let your requests be made known to God. Our prayers should be direct and specific. If you're struggling with something, this anxiety issue that you've thought of earlier, pray for that, specifically for that, to be rescued and kept and delivered from that. Not generally, oh Lord, I'm feeling anxious, please help me. No, Lord, I'm really worried about my finances. I'm worried I'm not going to be able to pay the bills. That is preventing me from reading, preventing me from praying. Please help me to trust you so that I don't worry. That's what we need to do. Actively make known our specific requests to God. So start praying. Make your request known to God. Christ did. He was struggling in Gethsemane. He prayed to God. Read through Luke. Luke makes a very clear emphasis on the fact that Christ went to pray all night, went to pray on his own, often before something very significant happened. We don't know that in the story. We find out only after Christ has prayed all night and something significant happens. Matthew does the same. Well, what happened when Christ prayed? What happened when he made known his requests to God? Well, God answered him, didn't he? He asked for strength, and it was given. he was made ready to go and do everything. Father listened to his son. Paul is making a big deal of this, saying prayer is the answer, precisely because God answers prayer. That's why he's saying for us to do it. Paul knows it works. Paul knows that God answers prayer. God gives what his children need. He might not take away the cause of your anxiety, but he can and will take away your anxiety. There's a man, a minister called Roland Taylor. He was in the Church of England in the mid-1500s, and because he was a Christian and wouldn't step back from the profession of faith he'd made and declaration of what was true, he was going to be burnt to death. And this is what he said to his family. Someone was with them, and they wrote down what he said a few days before he was burnt to death for his faith. "I say to my wife and to my children, the Lord gave you to me, and the Lord has taken me from you and you from me. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I believe that they are blessed which die in the Lord. God cares for sparrows and for the hairs of our heads. I have ever found him more faithful and favorable than is any father or husband. You trust therefore in him by the means of our dear Savior Christ's merits. Believe, love, fear, and obey him. Pray to him, for he has promised to help. Count me not dead, for I shall certainly live and never die. I go before, and you shall follow after to our long home." He means his long, long time home. Are those the words of an anxious man? He's going to be burnt to death in a few days. And he did manage to speak to his wife and children right before he was burnt to death. By all accounts, he was of similar composure. Was he anxious? He doesn't sound anxious. Couldn't really read that in an anxious manner. It just doesn't make sense. Was he anxious? Or rather, was he continually making known his requests to God? He makes it clear in what he said here. He's ever found him more faithful. He encourages his family to believe, love, fear, and obey Christ, and to pray. This man wasn't anxious because he made known his request to God. God is answering his prayers there. And so now maybe we're becoming anxious. We think, if I was going to be burnt to death in a few days, I wouldn't be like that. But you're not going to be burnt to death in a few days. God will give you what you need to deal with the trials that you are going through. And that, at the moment, isn't being burnt to death for your faith. But if it was, you make known your request to God and he will answer your prayers as he did Roland Taylor's. Don't worry, start praying. And the third thing, keep praying in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Paul now is describing the manner in which we should be making known. But it's important for us to know that when he says be anxious, his view of that command is a kind of a one-time thing, is not ongoing, that we just stop being anxious and it's a kind of done deal. Making known our requests is not that. This is a present tense command. Continually make known. He's saying tell God all the time, throughout your life. We have, don't worry, make known. And we have nothing, and we have the other, don't we, in everything. So Paul is saying that there's nothing on earth that we should be anxious about. And then as he flips it round, he says then, pray about everything. And he strongly contrasts lots of things in this letter and others. It's a way that he likes to make his point. He says in everything, he's removing any excuse, anything we think we might not need to pray about, because he knows what we're like. He knows what we're like. We say, whether I'm in prison or out of prison, one is bad, one is good. But in both of those situations, I make known my requests to God. Whether I'm persecuted or whether I'm praised, whether it's in ease of life or suffering in life, good health, bad health, wealthy, poor. There's no situation, Paul is saying, that we shouldn't be praying. I think in every situation, is that really what Paul is saying? Are we supposed to pray, make known our requests to God, even when things are going really, really well? Is that what Paul is saying? Well, he's saying, whatever you want to be anxious about, don't pray about that. That's seriously, he's so strong on this, that you must, at all times, continually, in every single situation that you find yourself in, be prayerful. A commentator on this passage sums up Paul's teaching as the way to be anxious about nothing is to be prayerful about everything. And it really is that simple. Paul doesn't complicate it any more than that. It's this or this. And all of that is just done. All of that is achieved by prayer. He makes the link that prayer leads to peace. It leads to the lack of anxiety. He's not saying that prayer leads to no struggle. He's not saying that prayer means that you will never suffer. He's not saying that prayer means you will not die of that horrible illness that's giving you anxiety. He's not saying that prayer will guarantee your children's salvation. But what he is saying, and it's a promise, with the stamp, the authority of God on it, he is promising that if you pray about those things, you will not be anxious about those things. And he says that we're to make known by prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving. I think the New King James is different on this, in these different words. And if it is, in a sense, that's helpful, because we think, well, what do these words mean? Do they matter? Different translations have different words. They have the same words in different order and all sorts. Does it matter? Well, there's some nuance difference in them, but it doesn't matter much. The point that Paul is making is that prayer is such a big part of life, or rather it should be such a bigger part of your life, that there are different types of prayer. And he doesn't mean morning prayer and evening prayer. He means specifically, differently praying for different things. We have a picture of Paul's view of the Christian life. A man, a woman, a boy or girl who isn't anxious because whatever situation they are in, they are praying in different ways about different things. He's saying that this Christian who follows his command has a life completely free of anxiety, because when anything comes, whenever it is, wherever it is, they pray in these different manners. So do we do that? Do we persist? Do we continually make known our requests to God? Continue to ask him, not for the anxiety caused to be taken away, but to be freed from that anxiety. I don't want to worry about that. Help me, Lord, not to worry about this thing anymore. Are we like that? Probably not. Not as much as Paul makes it clear we should be. Bring to mind again that thing that you're anxious about. Maybe you've been praying about it or not praying about it for many, many years, and you're feeling hopeless. Paul is saying, keep praying. Don't stop praying. If this thing bothers you, pray to your Father about it, and Father will listen, and Father will answer. And Father will answer. This is the promise that he makes in verse 7. And so then, because of all of this, and the peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds. That's a promise that Paul is making, a promise that God is making to you. If you pray, God will give you peace. Paul was free. He was free of anxiety. We want to be free of anxiety, don't we? I asked you in the beginning, do you want to be free of anxiety? Verse 11, not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound in any and every circumstance. I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Paul was free. Paul was content. Paul was not anxious because he did what he's telling us to do. When we make our requests known to God, what are we doing? What is it that we're doing? Well, surely we're asking for God to send his Holy Spirit, aren't we? To help us, to be active in our life, to be active in the world. Well, that same Holy Spirit, that's the Spirit of Christ. The Spirit of Christ, who wasn't overcome and who wasn't anxious. He overcame the temptation in the wilderness. He overcame the suffering and the pain in Gethsemane. He overcame being betrayed by one of his closest friends. He even overcame the cross. Nothing was too much for Christ Jesus. Why? Because he did this. He did this. He told his Father everything, making known his requests to God by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. And the important thing is that Father gave. Father gave. That's why we read Psalm 22. The man in the depths of despair and suffering. And he asked, and Father gave. If you are overcome by anxiety, I'm not judging you if you are. If you are, brothers and sisters, remember that Christ was not, and that Christ never was, and that Christ never will be. In him, as a Christian, a believer, with the Spirit of Christ in you, you will not be overcome. You cannot be overcome. In him, you are more than a conqueror. You're an over-conqueror. You will conquer everything. And that is a fact. You might do that in an anxious way, but you don't have to. You could do it like Christ did, free of anxiety, overcoming everything in the strength that he had, the Holy Spirit of God. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. When you do this, what Paul is telling you, and it is a command, when you do as God commands you here, you will be able to say, as the psalmist does in Psalm 120, he says, in my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. Well, let's pray. Father, we praise you for the strength that we have available to us in Christ Jesus by your Holy Spirit. And we ask that we all would follow these commands. Never to be anxious, and always to pray. It's something, Lord, that we all struggle with. We all struggle to pray. We all struggle to pray as often as we should. We all struggle not to be distracted. Strengthen us so that doesn't happen anymore, we pray. For Christ's sake. Amen.